Welcome to Motivate Your Child Action Plan audio series session number 10. It's in this session that we want to talk to you specifically about building internal motivation in your child in the area of initiative. Now, taking initiative is going to be, of course, one of those key ingredients or key indicators that a child is actually internally motivated because they're not waiting for someone else to tell them what to do. They're doing it on their own. So we want to build this internal motivation in ways that's going to reveal itself in initiative, because then kids start to take action on their own. They start picking up things when they leave messes. They start dealing with their own anger on their own and being able to make progress. It's a great sign of maturity when children can start taking initiative on their own, and a great sign of internal motivation.
This is a really important area to be working on as parents, because I think so often this is the struggle area in family life. We're telling our kids what to do, and even if they're responding, we've taught them to obey, we know that something's missing. We wish we wouldn't have to tell them every little thing to do. We wish they would just see what needs to be done and do it without being told. We wish our children would just look for ways to contribute, to be a partner with us in that way. And so that means we're going to have to parent a little bit differently to get there, because I think as parents, we're in the habit of just telling our children what to do and having them respond, and they feel like they're doing the right thing because they're responding. They have to somehow make the leap to stop waiting to be told, to look at the house differently, to look at relationships differently, to take initiative. That means we're going to do some different things as we're working with them to get them acting differently as well.
The reality is that many parents are the conscience for their children. Children wait for parents to tell them what to do. Parents become those internal prompters that kids need in order to get going. And so what we want to do is develop some real internal prompters instead of having parents be those prompters. And that's going to take a little bit of work to help our children see what needs to be done and do it.
I think children feel like we've taught them to obey. If they listen to what we tell them, they're really doing well. And we are pleased with them when they respond to our instruction. But how do you go to that next step where you don't have to be giving the instructions? They know what to do and they just take initiative to do it. That becomes a real struggle area. How do we do that for our kids? How do we help them to see that what you're doing is good, but I want you to go another step and start looking around, seeing what needs to be done to do without being told?
I think you'll find this idea of the cue, the conscience, and the character to be a great tool for making that happen. What we're going to do is show you how to build that internal motivation in some very practical, down-to-earth ways. So let's start with the cues. I think that first thing we have to ask ourselves is, what are the cues that you as a parent have that indicate that we're in the arena? That's the question we're asking. Remember, the arena is where the action takes place. That's where the temptation needs to be addressed. That's the place in the action plan where a child knows that we're working on something. And so it's in the arena that we have to make some changes. The cue tells us that we have now entered the arena.
And so as a parent, we want to just raise the awareness in our own hearts. What's going on here? Where is the problem area? How do I know it's time to give an instruction or give a directive or to correct the child? What am I seeing? What's going on? What am I looking at? What's the cue for me? And then how can I communicate that to my child so the child recognizes the cue and doesn't rely on me as a parent to point it out?
Recently, I worked with a family, a mom who picked her kids up from school, brought them home, and when the girls walked into the house, this is girls about 7 and 5 years old, they would just drop their things at the front door, or they would immediately go and get themselves involved in some entertainment of some kind, and it was a problem. It was a challenge that mom wanted to address, and she decided to use this idea of the cue, the conscience, and the character to do that. So first, we had to identify the cue. The cue for this family was when the girls passed through the door. Passing through the door became the cue. So mom had to first attach this cue to have some meaning, because now the children pass through the door and they just do whatever they want. They start heading in their own directions. And mom needed to raise the awareness level that that was the cue. So before the kids got out of the car, she said, "Remember the cue?" And they said, "Yeah, the door." And so when they pass through the door, they begin to recognize that as the cue. So still they're relying on mom to see that there is something that needs to be done when they pass through the door. But mom is transferring responsibility here to the girls by making the awareness level of the doorway the cue so that kids will eventually start taking action on their own.
What we want to do is understand for ourselves, what are the cues in life? Walking through a doorway, something happening, maybe it's the clock on the wall, different cues that we rely on in life that tell us something needs to be done. We want to identify what those cues are so that we can teach our children then to become more sensitive to cues as well.
Now, those cues can be a variety of different things. One 14-year-old boy I'm working with right now, he has a problem with anger. And so the cue for him that he's starting to experience this arena that he's there is when he starts to feel overwhelmed. He starts to feel this tension inside of his body. He feels like he wants to do something with it. That feeling that he's experiencing at that moment is the cue, and that's going to help him to start taking action. In the past, he wasn't even aware of that. He just knew he was upset, but now we're taking that feeling of being upset as the cue, and we're moving into a different approach. So wherever you are here in working with your child, there's always a cue that a child can learn to recognize, and then we take that cue and turn it into part of the plan as we're trying to move forward. Now, that child will not probably recognize the cue at first. There's going to take some work for the parent to help raise the awareness level so that cue becomes a practical and usable tool for the child.
So if the child struggles with leaving messes around the house, the cue may be that you finished one activity before you start the next activity, that cue to look back and clean up. Or maybe the cue is walking out of a room, turn around and look to see what you've left behind before you continue on. So we're looking for visible cues that our child can tune into. As Scott said, though, it's going to take some training, some time. Children are not naturally aware of the cues around them, but we want to point them out and highlight them so the child begins to become more sensitive to cues in life, and that will help them to stay on track.
Next, in order to use internal motivation, we move to the conscience. Now, the conscience provides promptings. In our plan for developing internal motivation with the cue, conscience, and character, we're going to script what the conscience prompts for the child. So the child's going to get this prompting, oh, I just saw the cue, I need to do something about it, and now what we're going to do is script what the conscience is going to prompt. So there's going to be some sense that I need to do the right thing, or I need to relax, or I need to remember, or I need to do something. And the conscience is going to be the identifier that's going to tell us exactly what that cue represents or what that cue is going to prompt us to do.
So as a parent, we want to ask ourselves, what do I want my child saying in his own mind or heart? What words do we want to run through that child internally to motivate that child to do the right thing, to clean up after himself or to manage his or her emotions? What are the words that we want to be using over and over again? Because the conscience then will prompt with those same words, will prompt with that same thought over time as we begin to use those words. So how do we want our child to be reminded when they see the cue? What do we want them to be saying inside their own hearts and minds?
So with my young man who's 14 who has an anger problem, he would get the cue of feeling upset, and we identified several things he would say to himself or he would do. And those became the conscience prompters. The things on his list were things like, I need to take a deep breath, or I need to walk around the room, or I need to step back from the situation a bit. Those were things that he needed to do. Sometimes he would say to himself things like, this isn't worth it. So he had words that he would say to himself. Now, those became important because they would guide the next thing that happened for him. With my friends that were walking in the house and just dropping their things here and there, mom pointed out that the cue was the doorway, and so whenever they passed through the doorway, then they needed to say some things to themselves, and she gave them a list. There's three things you need to do. And so they knew when they passed through the doorway, this is the next step, and the doorway became the cue that they needed to hang up their coat, empty their lunchbox in the kitchen, and put the different parts on the counter in the sink, and they needed to take the book bag and hang it up in their homework room. So those were the three things that needed to be done when they walked in the door before they were free to go and run around doing anything else.
So if your child struggles with impulsivity or interrupting, you may want that child to look and listen when he walks into the room. So those are the words he needs to be saying in his own heart and mind. I need to look and listen before I speak. So what we're doing is trying to objectify what is the problem, what do we want the child doing instead, and how can a cue prompt the child to be doing that?
Once you have the cue and the conscience promptings that you have laid out for the child, then you can start implementing that and practicing it. That's where some work is going to take place. It doesn't happen instantly. It's most effective, as we've shared in the book several times, to have the child help develop part of the plan. I like to ask kids, what kind of cue would you like to use? They all often will use physical cues, like a string tied around a door, or a little sign put up somewhere, or a sign in their notebook, a sign on their coat when they get ready to put it on, that will remind them of something. So kids often suggest those kind of physical cues, which are good, and something concrete like that might work really well in those areas. When we're working with something that's emotional, like anger or anxiety, there's often an internal cue that needs to be identified, but children can often pick that out. And once they know what it is, then that becomes the valuable thing for them. So it's very helpful to have children involved in the plan by first identifying the cues. And then secondly, when it comes to the conscience promptings, we work on that together, but children often can take all the things we've talked about and put them into one sentence or one idea, and that becomes the thing that they are reminded about. And so that reminder becomes a significant component of the conscience inside the child's heart, and the child has this awareness level that this is happening. But if the child can be involved in helping to develop what those specific statements are, things to do are, then it makes it a lot easier for the child to embrace this as part of the solution as the child's trying to grow.
And of course, the parent still needs to be very involved in the plan as the child is developing some new habits and some new patterns. So as a parent, you also want to be sensitive to those cues, but instead of reminding the child of the task that needs to be done, pointing out the cues. Hey, did you see the cue? How are you doing at picking up on those cues? What we want to do is draw the child back to the cues that we're working with, so the child becomes more sensitive to the cues. It happens over time. Children tend to be oblivious of the cues in life, and they're just waiting for that verbal cue from the parent, the instruction or the correction. We're trying to draw ourselves out of the picture, but it's going to take some time to help children become more sensitive to those physical cues.
Now, next we come to the area of character, because as we have stated to children many times, it's not conscience that cleans your room, or it's not the conscience that reduces your anger. It's not the conscience that helps you put your things away when you come in the house. It's character that does that. Now, character is the challenging thing to build, but when you used a cue and a conscience prompting, then it sets the stage really for kids to build that character in some ways that are tangible for the child. We've identified the arena, we've set it all up for the child to move forward, but sometimes kids come in the house and they don't want to do the things they need to do, or a child who's angry doesn't want to reduce the anger. And so that's the character that needs to be developed. And character is a challenge for many kids. It takes work. It's going to take work on the part of the parent. But the character quality is something that needs to be worked into the child's life in that particular arena.
And remember that character develops over time. This is not just one choice we make today to do the right thing. But character is when we develop the pattern of doing the right thing over time. It becomes a part of who we are. So, of course, it's going to take practice. Practicing, taking the right actions repeatedly over time, then it becomes a pattern in a child's life to be more thoughtful of others, to be more diligent in cleaning up messes, to be more self-controlled with anger. That's a pattern that develops over time, and then we call it character. So working over time is going to be important. Time is a key to developing character. This is not something that, hey, we get a plan, we do it right, and then we're done. It's something that has to be worked out in life over time.
And of course, character often requires firmness. When children go through struggles, they become stronger. if they learn how to respond well to those struggles. Just because you have struggles in life, that doesn't make you stronger. It can make you bitter. It can make you weaker. It can make you meaner. If you have a good response to the struggles in life, though, you can build the character necessary to overcome those struggles, to develop confidence and security in your own heart, the ability to persevere and hang in there. All of those are character qualities that children can develop, and they often require firmness in order to build them. So now we go back to our plan, remember, where we have five different components. And we're going to use all of those components in the midst of this cue, conscience, and character approach to help children make some significant changes. But firmness is going to be important because you're going to have to watch. You're going to have to make sure the child is actually doing what the conscience prompts. So when that child walks through the room and wants to interrupt, and you might put a hand up and say, well, think about it. And just that firmness, not meanness or harshness, but firmness, can help move the child in a place where the character starts to develop. Well, remember that character is a pattern of thinking and acting in response to a challenge. So we want kids to be able to develop new patterns. That's the character that's developed. And your work as you continue to help your child with firmness is going to produce that.
We have to remember that the child doesn't have that character in their life yet. That's why it's part of the plan now to develop it. So they may not naturally respond in the way that we're hoping they will. Firmness is going to help them change the patterns. Firmness builds character. And so we don't want to be afraid of that firmness. We want to be using it in family life. We want to be there watching the child, watching for those opportunities for them to develop new patterns. And we may have to be staying on them for a while, pointing it out. And of course, this is in the context of relationship, that we're building new patterns, new strategies to move that child into a habit of responding more appropriately in whatever that given situation is we're working on.
Now let's go back to our plan that has five different components. We've got a plan that has firmness, envisioning, and teaching, and prayer, and coaching. What we want to do now is take those all of those ingredients that are great parenting strategies and bring them into this new technique that we're helping a child develop, which is the cue, the conscience, and the character. We're going to lay out this all out for a child so the child can see we're trying to make progress to get toward point B, which is a character quality, and we're going to do it by helping the child be internally motivated. When a child is internally motivated, then he can see what needs to be done and he can manage it himself. You want to try to pass that vision on to a child that this is something, son, that you're going to be able to do on your own. When I give you an instruction, you're going to be able to stay on task without me reminding you to do that. That's being having initiative. So when I give you the instruction, then your conscience needs to be at work saying, I need to stay on this until I get it done and report back. That's what the conscience needs to prompt the child to do. And when the child then reports back with that final action, that's character. And that is what you want to affirm and acknowledge, because now the child's going full circle and starting to build that appropriate kind of response that's internally motivated. I would suggest that one of the greatest signs of maturity in any child is the ability to initiate, see what needs to be done. And it can happen at any age. The three-year-old can see that toys need to be put away and put them away. Or before finishing a particular task, put the toys away before getting out another one. It happens in the preschool. When we work with children in a preschool environment, they get out toy, they get out a little mat, put it on the table or the floor. They play with the toys for a little bit. Then they put away those toys, put away that mat, and get out another toy. They learn how to do that because those are the rules of the class. There's a prompter that when you're done, you need to put it away. And then there's the conscience that says, hey, we've got to be able to put this away so I can get out something else. And the character is developed in the class. Now, transferring that to home can be a challenge because some children don't have that same accountability at home that they do in the classroom. But by working with children over and over again, whether they're 3 or 18, we can help them using this approach of a cue, conscience, and character to move forward.
And some children really grab hold of this. They really enjoy it. They like it because it makes them to feel more mature, more independent. Children don't like it when parents are always giving them tasks to do. They feel like their parents are nagging them. So if we can teach them how to develop cues, become more sensitive to the cues in life, then they're empowered to make some changes toward independence. I don't need my mom telling me what to do all the time. I can see what needs to be done and do it. I can take responsibility for my own to-do list. I can just report back when it's done. Some kids really like that kind of independence. They just need to be taught how to do it. And once they see it, they get a glimpse of what that's going to look like for them. They're off and running. And of course, some children are more challenging. They're not that interested in being self-motivated. So every child is going to be different. But helping children to see the benefit here of being self-motivated, to taking initiative, is going to actually be rather visioning for some of them. Hey, I can do this. I don't need mom and dad telling me what to do.
What we've tried to do in this series of audio sessions and in the book is help you see that you don't have to have a child's cooperation to work your plan. A child needs a plan to move forward, and some children are quite resistant to a plan or to progress in their lives. That doesn't mean we don't implement a plan and start working on it. The goal, though, is as much as possible to recruit the child to be part of the solution. And when that happens, good things can take place. One 12-year-old boy was pretty lacked internal motivation. And mom said, he doesn't do anything without me telling him what to do. And it's a real problem in our home. So we started working using some of the things we've talked about here. And in their family, she started this way. She said, you know, I find that our relationship's a little challenging sometimes, and it seems like you don't like it when I nag you. You complain a lot that I'm nagging you to do this, nagging you to do that. Is that right? And boy, that just opened the door for this young man to express his opinion that mom does a lot of nagging. And mom says, you know, I realize that probably there's a different way we could handle this. I'd like to share that with you and explain it to you, and then let's see if you can manage yourself. So they started working on a particular area of some chores that they did on Saturday, and they agreed that she wouldn't nag as long as he was following through and doing what needed to happen, and he had a plan. So she changed even the way that she reminded him. She reminded him more about the cues and the conscience prompters in the morning when she had to, but she saw that he started taking responsibility for himself, making changes on his own, and it started to improve their relationship as well. So just having a different approach sometimes like this can cause children to rethink what they're doing and really want to do their part to get out of the dance that's going on sometimes in the uncomfortable parent-child relationship.
I think children find that there's an internal affirmation that they're doing the right thing. I can do this on my own. I don't need to wait to be told. I can see what needs to be done and do it. That kind of internal confirmation, affirmation, can also propel children forward, you see. As they begin to listen to those internal prompters, they begin to see cues, they really like that. They like that new independence they have, a better relationship with their parents. And that can also be encouraging, moving the child forward.
We want to work with kids in a way that's going to propel them forward. That's the whole goal of this material. And it's very important how we do that. I'm convinced that parents often have to change the way they work with their kids. When children are young, parents develop habits of prompting them along and dragging them from here to there sometimes in order to get where they need to be. And so children aren't motivated on their own. But even a young child can learn how to walk next to you instead of having to be pulled along. Or a child can learn how to clean up toys or how to follow instructions well. Now, as children get older, we're able to develop a little bit more of the strategies that help them to make some changes in their lives. And when we do that, then good things can happen. Because now the child's starting to take initiative and see what needs to be done. But I would suggest that the real asset here is when we get children to start looking at family life and contributing in ways that we haven't yet talked about. See, once we start building this initiative in a child, then a child starts to see ways that the child can help out and take initiative in ways that don't have to do with a specific challenge, but now we've helped the child take initiative in ways that can contribute to family life.
And this kind of growing maturity can help us all in the family to can benefit our relationships as we're working together more as a team. It's not parents always giving out the instructions and the tasks to do and pulling children along, but we're all contributing. We're looking for ways to make this family a better place to be, and that's very affirming for parents and for children. Certainly, visioning is an important part of the plan so children can see the benefit of taking initiative, of being more thoughtful. It benefits all of us in our relationships together. We don't have the same kind of tug of war going on here, but we're working together as a team to enhance relationships in this family and all to be more independent as far as, you know, doing the things that need to be done and not waiting to be told.
We see examples of this regularly. Parents will tell us they work on this for a while, and children of various ages do all kinds of things. 14-year-old makes coffee in the morning when he gets up for mom, even without being asked. Mom was shocked that her son did that, but it was a way of taking initiative. He was looking for ways to help out. A 7-year-old emptied the dishwasher when not asked to do so. Why? Because it needed to be done and he was contributing to family life. A 3-year-old little girl tried to make the bed for mom. Well, it was a 3-year-old job, of course, but making the bed, mom's bed, at 3 years old is taking initiative to try to help out. Children can do that, but it takes some training. That's kind of an advanced form of initiative. It's what we want in family life, because what it does is it develops a cooperation mentality in family life. It says, cooperation says, we give and take for each other. We don't just look for our own interests, but we're able to give up our agenda for someone else. We're able to think about other people, not just think about ourselves. We want that kind of a teamwork mentality in our home, and it develops over time. We're not suggesting it's going to happen instantly in your home, but as you work on this idea of building initiative in a child's life, then you will see good things happen, such as a child taking initiative to move forward.
And I think when our children do take initiative, we want to be affirming of the steps that they take. They may not be doing things exactly the way we had wanted them done or what we want done, but if they're taking initiative, we want to look for opportunities to affirm that. We want to help our children see that, hey, I like what you're doing. I like that you're taking initiative. I think sometimes parents are surprised because they want things done their own way. And when the child is doing it a different way, they're a little taken back by that, or they didn't know that child had it in them. What we want to do is affirm the efforts that a child is making when they take initiative.
Sometimes parents will say, well, I don't want to keep telling my child how good he's doing because I'm trying to build internal motivation that he needs to do the right thing even if he doesn't get any praise. Well, that's great. And I think we all need to do the right thing even if we don't get any praise. However, it's amazing what a little encouragement can do to build the internal motivation inside of a person. When a child sees the results of their actions, that the results are producing something, that is, mom is pleased or dad's pleased with what's happening, then it's very encouraging for a child. Even adults benefit from the encouragement that comes. Yes, we like the bonuses. We like the red stars that we get or the badges that or awards that are given out. Those are great, but the words of affirmation or encouragement are just as valuable. When someone says, hey, you did a good job. I really like what you did. It just helps us gain some broader perspective on our task and realize that we've done what we expected to do or we tried to do. It gives us that feedback that we need. So do use encouragement. It will help you as you're working with your child. The affirmation you give as a child's moving forward contributes to internal motivation so your child can make those changes and continue to grow in the area that that child needs to move.
And as we're working with this affirmation area, we want to be pointing out the internal confirmation that's there as well. Doesn't it feel good to be more independent? Doesn't it feel good to be responsible for your own things? So we're pointing toward that internal affirmation as well.
Look for ways to use this idea of a cue, the conscience, and the character to build initiative in your child and watch this grow over time. We'd really appreciate hearing stories about how this is working in your family. So be sure to send us an email every once in a while. We'd love to hear about it at parent@biblicalparenting.org. And from there, we can interact together. But we'd love to hear your story or pictures that you take or anything that you do. It's an affirmation for us that we're doing the right thing and continuing to do what God has designed for us to do.
God is moving and doing the hard work. Raising a family is hard work. It's worth it all. It's amazing to see. And God working in our family.